Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Book 1, Chapter 6, Texts 6 to 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmin ahani kenapi vaimanasyena veshmana antaha prakoshte suptasya prabho parshvam vidhayasa adura dehili prante navishtasi mad udava baladevo devakicha rohini rukmini tata Satyabhama dayo nyascha devya padmavati chasa prabhata harini kamsa. Oops. Wrong verse. Okay, text 5. Sorry. My dear mother, please now be fully attentive. Listen soberly with steady concentration to what I am about to say. Purport. Pariksit Maharaj wants his mother to listen carefully so that the Supreme Lord's pastimes he's about to describe will enchant her mind and awaken her ecstatic love. Pariksit knows from his own experience that the insanity of love for Krishna is in fact the most natural condition of the soul, and that devotees infected with this insanity are more sober and in touch with reality than anyone else. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksurunbalatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Boca Raton in Florida. On my way from Colombia, that's the extent of my Spanish, I stopped to visit... invited to visit Lakshmi Nisringa, many of you know, Prabhu, and his wife Gokula. And it's really nice. And this evening we're going to have a program. He has a beautiful, beautiful place here. So we'll have it in the backyard, I think, maybe. Prithiviti Achiyati Nagarati Gram. This is about an hour north of Miami. I think between all the different groups that come, the Indian congregation, the Russians, the Americans, I think there'll be 70 people here tonight, I think at least. So I'm really looking forward to that. So just to give the context here, and I always start with the beginning, and I really wanted to get to this part because it's exciting. You can shut the door, Lakshmi. What happened? Lakshmi, are you coming back?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Tasya Parama Antim, I think I forgot that, but it's Sanatana Goswami's mission And this is, I presented many, many times, that anarpita charim charat, this thing that wasn't given for millions and millions of years. Anarpita charim charat karuna vatirno kalo, out of mercy. Samarpiyatam unatoj vala rasam. So bhakti swayam, this brilliant rasa means basically, in a general way, it means a consuming emotion in classical aesthetics. Things that really just occupy the consciousness completely, like tragedy, like romance, like chivalry. But when we talk about rasa, we talk about bhakti rasa. And that's what Rupa Goswami's contribution is. He understood that the Bhagavatam was perfectly composed according to the Natyaka Shastra, because it's a reflection of the spiritual world. So that that rasa, but it's not just a rasa, it's ujvala rasa. It's this brilliant rasa, which means it's the most consuming rasa, swabhakti swayam, which is the devotion of Sri Radha for Krishna, which becomes the devotion that Lord Chaitanya, Krishna is bringing in his own heart. So he says, swabhakti shrim, this beautiful bhakti. And not only he's bringing his own heart, but he's actually distributing it to the world. That's why I'm saying I'm here in Boca Raton. It's an hour north of Miami. And many devotees everywhere now, Prithiviti Achi Yati Nagarati Gram. But anyway, that's Sanatana Goswami's mission. And I presented a seminar in, I guess, in Puri, about the genius of doing this, because there's a thing that happens, and it's also described here why he's telling his mother to be attentive. Because he says it's a natural condition of the soul, but it's an insanity of love. So externally, it may appear the same intensity. We may relate to it as something that's not coming from thoughtfulness, but it's something that's coming from our samskaric nature. I was just asked a question by Lila Velasini. I think I'll post it on my WhatsApp group. And she says, explain this purport. And it was about Raghava Pandit, who was this great devotee. And you know, bhakti really means to offer the best. I was reading this in the eighth canto of, where Aditi, she's worried that the demons have driven out the demigods, and her husband comes back and he tells her to perform this payovrata, this of just drinking milk. And it's described, I was very enlivened, you know, I mean, I was just reading it, and I was just saying to myself, this is very, you know, it seems, it's kind of something I could do, you know. Okay, you're drinking milk, there's celibacy, you know, then you got to offer to the deities the proper thing, and, you know, as Prabhupada's describing it, what is, you know, the worship, and, you know, offering agya and padyam and the best things, etc. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, this is only like 12 days, maybe I can do it, I can get some power, you know. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means your faith is in the rule and the fruit it gives, and not necessarily the activity. In other words, you think, when I finish the activity, I get the benefit. I follow the rule, I get the benefit. So we have that tendency, rather than Ragmarg, which is the absorption, the activity itself. So I was thinking like that. I was just reading along the verses. I've been trying to follow my the habit I've been trying to develop of reading the Bhagavatam for a half hour when I get up. So I'm reading it. And I'm saying, oh, this is nice. Maybe I can do this. You know, maybe I can do this. I'm losing my train of thought. I'll explain anyway. Maybe I can do. Okay. I was thinking, maybe I can do this. And then Prabhupada in the purport said, you know, I've done this in my temples. We have our worship. We have our different activities. We have our kirtan. You know, so I was just thinking, you know, I was thinking externally, oh, wow, maybe I can get the benefit. But Prabhupada has already given us the activities that we can get the benefit. If we just follow what his activities are in worshiping the deity and chanting and doing the things he said. Anyway, let me get back to, I'm a little bit, okay, I'll go back and come back. So it's this, it's some, oh yeah. Okay, I'm gonna remember this. Oh yeah, anyway, I was asked this question about this verse, and it described Raghava Pandit and this deity worship, and that he'd go for miles to get the best. Okay, bhakti means to offer the best. So he would get these special coconuts. This is love, the special ripe coconuts. And then it touched the top of the door, and he was thinking, well, people walk in, the dust from their feet goes to the top of the door. So he wouldn't use them, you know. And then the purport was very confusing because there was so many points. They seemed to be contradictory. Lila Velasini asked me to explain it. And I'll post my explanation. But Bhakti Siddhanta says that this can be looked like a kind of like a craziness, you know, like a germ phobia, basically, you know, like a, and my answer was, you'll read the answer, but the answer, at least to the first part, was, and you read the purport, what he was explaining is that this wasn't coming from the samskaras of someone. You can't imitate it because it looks like it's coming from samskaras. You're a fanatic, right? You know, the dust on the top of the door, and then you got to go 2 miles. Is that like Niyama Agraha? Is that too much affection for the rules? Not very practically. Just wash the coconut, you know. But what Bhakti Siddhanta explained is that it was all coming from the spiritual platform. So there are certain activities that are coming from the spiritual platform, but our only experience of those activities is they come from the material platform. For example, Radha Krishna's love, why it's difficult to understand Radha Krishna's love, because it's coming from another platform, and our experience is coming from the modes of nature. So it's a little difficult to understand. So therefore, Sanatana Goswami had that same concern that when you explain what that topmost love is, which is the separation of Srimati Radharani for Krishna, you know, it's erotic in form, kama rupa it's called. It's called the form. It's not love, lust. It's the form of lust. In language, it's called kama rupa, the form of lust. It's not lust. It just has the form of lust. And that's how we understand it. But the inspiration is pure love, how Krishna can be pleased. And then at the same sense, there's so much lamentation that generally is born of ignorance. So it's kind of difficult to understand. So he has to give the frame of reference, and that's what the Bhakti Brihat Bhagavatam it is doing. It's giving a frame of reference so you can actually understand this, because this is what Lord Chaitanya came to give. And if you don't have the frame of reference to understand it, you won't actually understand or experience it, because you'll think it's something mundane or even mythological. You won't have that faith. So we're coming to the point where it's really extremely brilliantly done, because it's a progression of these devotees, and he's come to Uddhava. He came to Dwarka, and the residents of Dwarka, who were so exalted that Krishna was in their assembly, and you know, they had this affection for Krishna. And not only this affection for Krishna, but they had this association with Krishna. He was living in their community. And those people pointed to Uddhava, because of all those people, Uddhava was the confidant. He was with him. I explained this many times. So they say, you have to go see Uddhava if you want the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. If that's what you're looking for, the topmost recipient for Krishna's mercy, then you should go find Uddhava. So now this is what's happening. And of course, we see these common themes in bhakti, that there's faith, and faith generates enthusiasm. Faith is the enthusiasm by, your level of faith is the enthusiasm by which you move towards the goal. And that's based on your understanding of the goal and some experience of the goal. You have an experience of the goal, and you understand that the goal is great, and you have some experience that the goal is great. And that's our faith, and that's what Prabhupada gave. He gave some experience through the holy name, through the prasadam, through the deities. I met another person who came to Krishna consciousness by just walking into a temple and seeing the deities and just beginning to cry. But that experience will not last unless it's fortified by some knowledgeable faith. And then you move towards that goal. So Uddhava is moving toward, so it's Narada that's looking for this. We're going to come to today's verse, and it's a great section. And he's come to Uddhava. And this is kind of be the culmination. Because when he comes to Uddhava, and what's going to be revealed now is that Uddhava, he's so qualified. He's qualified in every way. I've gone over this many, many times. He has every single qualification, including being Krishna's confidant, and in so many ways. And he's going to point to the gopis because of his experience in Vrindavan, which is what Sanatana Goswami and what Lord Chaitanya ultimately came to give. They came to give that love, that experience, and give it to the world. And right now it's going to be explained. So he's looking for Uddhava with enthusiasm. And of course, this story is being told by Maharaj Prickett, which is also significant, because his mother wants him to give him what he heard. He's giving a summary of the Bhagavatam in terms of the message of the Bhagavatam. And it's the same message of the Bhagavatam, because that's, Prabhupada even said, that's the goal of the Bhagavatam, smiling face of Krishna, the Rasa dance. So he's coming to see Uddhava. And he's really enthusiastic. And then you have this scene where there's this incredible maze of streets in Dwarka. I don't know particularly what the purpose is, if it's a Vastu Shastra thing or what it represents, but it's a maze, and it's impossible to get through this maze. And Uddhava just goes, and he winds up at Krishna's palace. Maybe it also, like a king, you know, it should be a little secluded. Maybe the enemies attack, because a lot of enemies will attack Dwarka. It's not easy to get there, but he gets there. And then they give two explanations. He's been there before, but the other explanation is, and I think it's really the relevant explanation for us, is that when you let go and fully surrender to Krishna, you're moved by an intelligence and energy beyond the limits of your own. When the senses are controlled, the super soul is at reach. So it's more like that. And we also should have that experience to a certain degree. When we surrender to a service, we surrender to an activity in the service of Krishna. I certainly feel that in terms of speaking and writing, that I have to come to this platform, which I call unconscious competence, where I have the knowledge, I have the realizations, but the way it's put together and the way it comes out, it's not I'm searching and writing, it's flowing. And people should have that experience in their kirtans. They should have an experience in their cooking for Krishna. When there's real devotion. And I describe that. I describe that in one of my audios in this new medium, WhatsApp. You can have a great tool, but it needs an agent. So we have different abilities. Everyone has their capacity in some way. But when we let go and surrender to Krishna, and we become the instrument, he becomes the agent, then what cannot be accomplished? What cannot be accomplished? And I the classic example of that is Prabhupada coming to the West with $40 or something, I don't know, 40 rupees, I don't know, okay, ridiculous amount, without, and Krishna used what he had, and he had abilities, but it's not his abilities. It's that he allowed Krishna with full faith to be the agent for his abilities in Krishna consciousness. He had unique abilities. And this was highlighted to me, and a story was once told, and I read about Prabhupada. I think I heard Srila Bhaktivikaswami tell it. And I've told this many times before, that Srila Prabhupada came back to Calcutta after he had succeeded beyond anyone's dreams. And he was meditating to himself, how I've become the lucky one, how I've become the lucky one. I think many of you have heard me tell this story. And Prabhupada meditated. And he meditated on his godbrothers, some who were more learned than Prabhupada. Before Prabhupada knew Sanskrit as a language, he wasn't a Sanskrit scholar. In fact, he studied Sanskrit and the Bhagavatam from his first disciple, Acharya Prabhaka Mishra, when he went to Jhansi. And I know that because I know the grandson of Acharya Prabhaka Mishra very well. And I think it's common knowledge Prabhupada was studying. So it wasn't, he was the whole life, he was a Sanskrit pandit reading books. And there were godbrothers like that, that were so phenomenally learned. And even there were managers. Prabhupada was, you know, I guess a manager in a pharmacy. There were one of Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples, I think Bhakti Saranga, was in charge of the railways. And you know, they were very powerful people. And Prabhupada was thinking, how I became the lucky one. And he said, because I was 100% faithful to the order of my spiritual master. He became the instrument. And I was speaking about this morning with Lakshmi Nisringa, that the speciality of the disciples of Prabhupada, there's many people preaching. You know, and there's a lot of traditions, even in the West, of people having gurus in Gaudiya Vaishnavism that are very, very learned. We're talking about certain people that went to the Gaudiya Math, friends of ours that became extremely learned. But for preaching Krishna consciousness and that type of utmost surrender to that mission, Prabhupada really empowered people. And the example I gave is Govardhan. Every mission is represented in Govardhan. Even the Vallabhas, who, you know, that's their seat. That's their focus, and there's such rich Gujaratis and you know, and so many traditions there, and Nimbarkism. But the jewel of Govardhan now is the Govardhan Retreat Center that Burijan Prabhu made with Satchinandana Swami, 25 acres. Even in the town, it's so prestigious. And then what Bhakti Vigyan Goswami is doing on the other side. And how, and why? Because the 100% faithful to Srila Prabhupada and wanting to make an offering. And I remember I went to the ground baking ceremony and I spoke and I said something. I said, the only thing it was years ago. The only thing I lament is that by the time this finishes, Burijan's going to be too old to enjoy it. And then afterwards, he tapped me. He said, I like your lecture, but I didn't like that point. He said, because I'm not doing it for myself. It's an offering. And then he pointed to Govardhan Hill. It's an offering of Prabhupada through his disciple to Giriraj. And that kind of conception, not to do things out of ego, and it was said with such sincerity in his heart. And he says, it's an offering. It wasn't for him to enjoy. It's an offering. Anyway, that was my commentary on how Narada found the palace. You know, it's just his, and the reason I also think that is because when he was in South India, it said Dik Vidik. He didn't know which Dik means direction. Dik Vidik, this direction, that direction. He was just chanting. He didn't have like a GPS. He didn't really have a plan where he was going. He was just moving. And how is that when you just move by the holy name? You just move by the holy name. It's so peaceful. Just imagine, because wherever you are, you create your attachments and your enemies. So wherever you are, and I'll use my vast knowledge of Yiddish, there's suras. Suras, there's trouble. Wherever you are, there's attachment, there's fear, but that life of just traveling, the real sannyasi just traveling in a detached way every day, a different place. And you don't have your material protective agents, you don't have your material facilities, but you also don't have your problems. And so he used to wander. And where did he wind up? He wound up exactly in the place he should be. The Godavari River, but where by coincidence he meets Ramananda Roy, who's essential in his Leela, and not only in his Leela, in the fulfillment of the internal reason for his appearance. Because Ramananda Roy helped him in that way. Because he was Rasika Vaishnava, and he was helping Lord Chaitanya. This is so important, that this point that we advance by absorption in the object of devotion, because it unleashes the energy of prema, which is a relationship. And relationships don't fructify unless there's attention. So the degree of your attention is the degree that prema will be awakened in your heart. And that's what Lord Chaitanya was doing. But the absorption is based on your relationship. So that the chanting has to be energized by the right conception. And it's not just intellectual conception. It's devotional conception. It has to be energized. So Ramananda Roy was energizing his chanting by songs and stories with Sarup Damodar. So this is such an important thing that what's going on here. And then it's described that when Narada Muni came, he was in such ecstasy because it was such an emotional thing for him. Imagine if you had the consciousness to meet Uddhava. Right now, let's say mystically, Prabhupada reappeared manifest. Right? And you were told where he was, and you could go see Prabhupada. And you got in your car right now. And from your practice of Krishna consciousness, it should be an emotional experience. From reading his books and receiving his mercy through his books, through his holy name, through the holy dhams, through his books. And the more advanced you are, the more emotional it is, not the less emotional it is. And that's why it's confusing sometimes to see who is advanced. Because one, it can be imitated, the emotions, and they can be real. And sometimes emotions don't indicate advancement on the gyanic platform, which we generally identify as spiritual, as the sober, the detachment, discrimination. There's no discrimination. There's no yukti analysis. It's the heart is just being drawn. So when Narada comes, he's falling on the ground. He's standing motionless. His body is trembling. He's rolling on the ground. He's crying in distress. He's shouting. He's jumping about. He's singing. He's dancing. And then all these sattvika bhavs, emotions, are appearing in his heart at once. And who's explaining this? This is being explained by Maharaj Parikit to his mother. So he's telling her, "Oh, Matmata, my mother, idam now, you, swa abhidana tara, bhava, please be very attentive and sthiratam. Listen soberly and siddharyam, shrinu. Patiently listen. Patiently mean hang with me. You may not understand right at the beginning. It's a very deep subject that's going to be explained. Be patient. Listen soberly. And with full attention. Because without attention, there's no perception. And I really got this idea. I was speaking with Bhaktivedanta Goswami. Some of you may know him, but I think he's the most learned Vaishnava in ISKCON. Not just the Bhagavatam, but every subject, Ayurveda, Vastu. When I'm with him, there's nothing he doesn't know. And he was explaining some point about mental health and Ayurveda, and he described this thing of the mind, and I wrote about it, that it has two qualities, anuttam, it's atomic, ekatvam, it can only meditate on one thing at a time. So if you're not attentive, you're going to miss the whole message. Which indicate he's trying to give his mother the faith that this is, please listen about what I'm to say with concentration and soberly. Soberly, because don't get disturbed. Keep your mind. This is going to be a very heavy emotional experience with you. Don't lose it. Be attentive. Be sober. Hang in there. And be patient. I'm going to explain it.
Because if not, if someone doesn't have the faith, maybe they can walk out of the first sentence. Sometimes you miss something. You have no faith that you hear one thing, but it's not in context and you leave. So he's telling this to his mother. And then the next verse that we did, so now he's explaining, and this is what's really going to be hard to understand. That day, Lord Krishna was, for some reason, disturbed in mind and asleep in the inner quarters. So that's the first thing you ought to understand, that Lord Krishna was Vaimanasyena. He was disturbed in mind in his inner quarters. And asleep. And Uddhava had left him and sat down nearby on the terrace at the edge of the palace. So now Uddhava is sitting there, and there Uddhava was joined by Baladev, Devaki, Rohini, and the queens of Krishna like Rukmini and Satyabhama, as well as various maidservants and other ladies, including Krishna's mother, Padmavati, a lady who had the habit of making public gossip out of Krishna's personal affairs. So, now listen attentively, don't give up right here, this is very deep. But what happens now is such an amazing thing. And when I'm saying the genius of Sanatana Goswami, how he's trying to get us to understand what's going to be explained as this topmost parama antim, the end, the top end. Braj is the end, but the top end is Radharani and her feelings in separation and in the intensity of it. So how he's going to get us to have a frame of reference to understand that? So we described the first thing. He's giving us a thorough understanding of bhakti by this progression of devotion. So by seeing devotion in different forms and shapes, from the initial Brahman to Uddhava, and in Narada as he's in his enthusiastic journey, you start to get an understanding of what this is. Because unless you have a preliminary understanding, sometimes you have to have a preliminary understanding of something to understand something a little bit more deep. For example, the Vedas. The Vedas, if there's a basic point about the Vedas, it's to give up the false egotistic material identity called false ego. But unless you surrender to Guru and Krishna, and have a preliminary experience of surrender and giving up the false ego, you will not have the lens to see it in the Vedas. Yasya deve para bhaktir, tata deve tata. Unless one has implicit faith in the spiritual master and the supreme Lord, the one who has that, imports will be revealed. And the other example I give, a young girl, unless she comes to maturity, she won't have the preliminary reference to understand romance and so many things. So it's kind of like you have to have a bit of a an experience of something to understand it. The other example I give is when people come to Vrindavan. And when they come, and if they do it in the right way, even for a few days, they get this taste of devotion that's very, very difficult to achieve other places, especially now that people don't live in temples and are, you know, have that full kind of experience that maybe people used to have when they first came, if it was done properly. So when you're there and you have that absorption, but not only the absorption, but the reciprocation that the dust of that place can give, then I feel I can open my heart more fully about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, because I feel, oh, that's devotion, because they're experiencing it. It gives them some kind of relevance to that. So in Sanatana Goswami's genius, he's presented these different shapes of devotion. And now what he's going to do, which is so intriguing, is Narada is going to approach Uddhava as the topmost devotee. And what Uddhava is going to, naturally, is going to deflect the praise. And I explained this, and it's a wonderful story. And what will happen is there'll be an argument among these people that are presented here. Are the gopis the topmost devotees? Because from what topmost recipients of Krishna's mercy? Because from one form of experience, from Baladeva and Rohini have been there, they look like they're the persons that are tortured the most. So how can they be the recipients of Krishna's mercy? And then, you know, Devaki and Satyabhama begin to talk about how even they're married to Krishna, how his mind is in Vrindavan. So what will happen is, it's a long story short, but anyway, the intrigue will go, but somehow or other it winds up in the story that Krishna has to explain it himself. Why he's so attached to the residents of Vrindavan and the feelings of Radharani. So anyway, there, Krishna is somehow disturbed, and he's disturbed because he's in separation from from the gopis, from the residents of Vrindavan. And now the next scene is they're in shock as they see Narada, and they really can't understand what's going on with him. And he was acting so strange. And then they bring him down carefully. And they, you know, they wipe his face, which is wet with tears. And they're compassionate and they're very gentle with him. And they said, "We've never seen you before. And what is this change? Just be quiet, sit here and tell us what's going on." And he replied, and he's trembling, and the hairs of his body are standing on end, and he can't even open his eyes, and he bows down to offer respect, and he's choking, and tears are flowing from his eyes. And why is that? And he says, "I want to meet Uddhava, the object of Krishna's exquisite fortune. If I can get a particle from his feet, then my heart will be at peace." Then again, now you're focused in again on Narada. And look how much he values devotion and the people who have that in his heart and what his eagerness is to be with them and to see them. This is his journey, the journey of Narada, the topmost Vaishnava, the guru of all the other Vaishnavas. What's his main quality? It's sadhu sangha. And I think really that's where the essence of devotion lies. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra hoy, lavamatra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. That's it. Sadhu sangha. That's our prayers in our hearts. That's our objective. That's that anugata, we follow the acharyas. And he's explaining the abundance of mercy is not get by any other servants. The past, he's the greatest of Vaishnavas. And then he quotes Krishna, even said that Uddhava is the greatest of Vaishnavas. There's so many quotes that from Krishna. And this is all setting up because this is the person at this height of devotion and respect, what Narada, who's been searching the universe, and he finds him. this is the person that's going to say, these are the best. But that's not the only thing that's going to happen. Because I love that part, because there's an argument that ensues and Krishna wakes up and he kind of finds out, and then he's in separation, he faints, and then the story continues. Okay, Jamuna Jaya, what do you got from today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for class. There was a lot of things from today, but I really love this last point about that Narada Muni's top quality is his seeking sadhu sangha. And that paired with what you're saying, if you surrender, you're led by an intelligence that is greater than your own. So it's even, he wanders everywhere because he's so surrendered and he keeps finding his way to the devotees. So it's beautiful that we need to sort of surrender that. We too will be led to the devotees, because I love that he's not even trying, but there he keeps coming to them over and over again. So that's beautiful.
That's the story of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, because the second thing happens also, that this Gop Kumar meets his guru, he gets a mantra, and he begins to search. So I guess this is our story. Mm. We sincerely search. Mm-hmm. And that consciousness in our hearts will bring us to our destination.
Nice.
Okay, nice. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Gail here.
Yeah, how are you all?
Oh yeah, I really loved this class today for a variety of reasons. One of which Jamuna Jaya just mentioned, how, you know, a person can be so qualified, but it's when they surrender themselves to Guru Krishna that those qualities can be really potent, actually. You know, so somehow the way you explained it today just went in deeper.
Make it, you know, deeper.
Yeah. It went in deeper, you know, the way you described it today.
Yeah, and it's not that Krishna doesn't use non-devotees either. Their qualities and their abilities, but that's more their karma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More their karma, but the devotees can go really beyond their karma. I mean,
yeah.
Materialist people can achieve amazing things, but it's Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasha Ahankarava Buddhatma, but they're not really the doer. Okay, what are you going to say, Gil?
Yeah, just a couple other things. One was how, you know, when you were explaining that, we kind of relate spiritual things to our material frame of reference. And it reminded me of the fact that so often when people from a foreign country, you know, they introduce themselves with their foreign names, you know, like in America, right? We will hear the closest thing to an American name that, you know, we're familiar with, you know? So like, well, my last name is not American, it's Italian. But when I say my name is Kuzmai, people are more familiar with Guzman, you know? And so they will hear Guzman, you know. So it was like, it's like a similar thing, you know. You'll hear or see or perceive what is familiar to you instead of the actual thing.
Nice point. Thank you, Gail. That's great.
Just one question, Maharaj.
Yeah.
When you said when you were contrasting intellectual conception with devotional conception, and the concept of devotional conception almost sounds a little oxymoronic, because when you think of conception, you think more on the intellectual level, you know? So I was wondering if you could like elaborate a little bit on the concept of devotional.
Devotion. You want me to elaborate on all these things I make up, right? Okay. Okay. Devotional conception. I'm trying to bring it back to what it was about. I forgot to frame a reference.
Yeah, me too, actually. It just struck me.
And there's a reason I had to say that, because it had to be with faith, you know. Oh, no, it had to be with chanting and what you bring into the chanting. So I'll give you an example. It's like you have to chant with conception, right? One conception is Nam Aparad, one conception is Shuddha Nam, and one is, you know, Nam Bas. So there's an understanding there. In other words, if you don't know what you're doing and commit offenses, there has to be some understanding in the chanting, but it's not just an understanding, it's connected with how you do things and in what mood you do things. So I didn't want to just separate it as like an intellectual thing that you add, because that conception, and I heard this, I was listening to a class from Madhavananda, and he was talking about that incessantly, and he was quoting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who was describing the Bhagavatam as Sarup Shakti, and that you have to bring the Bhagavatam into the holy name. And if you don't bring the Bhagavatam into the holy name, it's not going to be devotion, and it's not going to be without offense. So we read the Bhagavatam, we get different ideas, but those ideas are based also on an experience. So it's both. Lakshmi?
Yeah. It's funny, this last point that you're talking about, that was the point that I locked into. What you said was here. Chanting has to be energized by devotional conception and a connection, devotional connection, I think you said. And I was just thinking, my mind went to, like, when we're in kirtan, you know, chanting can be energized by the false ego. Like, I'm leading kirtan. And chanting can be energized by intellectual conception. Oh, I'm here in kirtan and I'm chanting. And, you know, it can get into a whole intellectual thing about what you're doing. And it can be energized, of course, by pride. I'm the best kirtaniya. And all of these different levels of energization that comes while you're chanting. But what you brought it home by saying, you know, chanting is truly energized, meaning it has this eternal effect and deep emotional, spiritual, emotional effect when there's connection. Because I hear so many, you know, I go to so many yoga kirtans, and it seems like it falls off the table because there's not devotional connection to whom you're chanting. It's just like, it's a great music genre, but am I connected to Shiva, or am I connected to Krishna? You know, is there that emotional connection? And you know, quite often it just kind of falls off the table into true spiritual experience because of that lack of devotional connection to your object of meditation.
Okay, Gail, I think that's a good answer. It's really something to meditate on. It's my own term, but I actually got it from Madhavananda because he said conception. Mm. And I thought it wouldn't be enough to say conception. Mm. But then I say, what is that conception? Right? It's the conception you're chanting in will determine whether you commit offenses or not, or at least there'll be a main factor in that. Okay, Gail, thank you for always clarifying the things that I completely made up by myself. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? I saw Kalachandri there. I'd like to say
Hare Krishna, Hare Maharaj. Krishna Maharaj. Thanks so much for the class.
Please great to see you.
Faces.
Yeah, great to see both of you.
Thank you.
Okay, Haribo. 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 Okay. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Malati.
Malati, how was your landing? You was flying so high in Colombia. I hope you don't crash landing.
Yeah, no. It's been part of the journey.
It was fantastic, wasn't it? The experience.
It was incredible.
Incredible.
It really went so deep. Your classes were just, I'm still relishing them.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an amazing experience. It was unexpected because there's so many retreats. I got one coming up in Pumpkin Hollow. Jaya and myself are going to do the same thing there for those of the people that are listening.
So you can be a good advertisement that we're also going to try to add that to the retreat of, you know, of, how do I put it, Logos? You know, adding depth to our spiritual practices. And I think it was really effective to have those conceptions and own. I mean, Jai's class was nice, owning the prayers as if they were own. My Monday morning greeting is going to be based on that. And I'm sharing at least two of the poems that were posted there. And I think people will really appreciate them. Do any of you want to sign up for our Pumpkin Hollow? I'll use the yoga talk rather than say charge. If you want to make an investment.
I highly recommend it.
Those people make investments, you know, $3,000-$4,000. So they have to make it out that they're not trying to, you know, it's not a business. Ours is really an investment because we don't charge anything ourselves. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Gumaraj, Tota Gopinath here. So great to hear from you.
Okay. See you soon. Great. Okay.
Mark, can I repeat something you had said early in the class?
Yeah, sure.
One of your quotes were, when the senses are controlled, the super soul is at reach. I just thought that was simple and strong.
That's from the Gita. That's actually a direct quote from the Gita. I tried to take credit for it myself.
Okay. Well, you got me fooled. All right. Perfect.
Okay. Anybody else like to say?
Hare Krishna Gauraj, Logavinda.
And Braja, thank you for class.
Okay. I guess we'll see you on next Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. We'll have a great time.
Looking forward to it.
And I signed up for Pumpkin Hollow, so I'm
gonna, great. Okay, you're one of the few intelligent people that have so far.
Law would be great too, but he can't. What? We can't. He would be intelligent too. He would come, but we have to do things separate.
More intelligent.
Yeah.
But hey, Raj, I made it. Boca Raton. I made it. Okay. All right, well, come on in. Anybody else?
Hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for class.
Amala, I'll tell you, you should come to the Chitsholi and be the guru there.
Okay. Maybe I will someday.
Okay. Anybody else? Say hello.
Hare Krishna Gurudev. Yabat Sundaris. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Nice. Okay. Good.
Yeah, thank you very much for the class. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Yvette. Thank you for class.
Yvette, okay. I think we'll probably see you up in Bhakti Bandhav.
Yeah. Okay, probably in Philly too, if you're coming to Philly.
I am coming to Philly.
Yeah, cool. Oh,
all right,
I'm
great.
Here now.
Okay, we'll see you there. Okay, good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Krishnamrita. Thank you so much. Thank you greatly for the class.
Wow, great. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Krishna.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Kamala.
We're praying for your protection. How much thank anxiety, you. Huh?
Thank you very much, Guru. Yes.
It would be like living in New Jersey if Staten Island was trying to destroy you. It must be intense. Okay. Okay, anybody else? Okay, here we go.
Maharaj, I just have to say that, you know, a couple of decades ago, you were the one who said that when you hear prayers, you should recite them as if they were coming from you. And I've always done that. So when you said that, you know, Jai said something nice, I have to like set the record straight, kind of.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not that I invented that idea either, but...
Well, for me, you did.
Okay, that's great. Wow. Yeah. It was... Wait till you hear these poems, Gail. I'm going to publish them tomorrow. Wait till you hear them. Amazing.
Poems by whom?
The people that came to our seminar in Colombia.
Oh, okay.
And had to write a poem as if it was coming from them based on a verse that Jai gave from the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. And they were powerful. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So it really worked.
Just a little tidbit, Maharaj. You know, my younger daughter, she crossed paths with you in Colombia. She kind of landed as you were coming, but different part, you know.
What, really?
Yeah. I was so sorry she had to miss you.
What was she doing? Where was she going?
Well, you know, Ananda Bihari Prabhu, he has like this coaching thing.
Yeah.
That he does. Well, she's a part of that. And so they had this retreat. It looks just like as paradisical, if that's a word, as...
Yeah,
as
no, that's run by... He works for Jamuna Bihari.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
What is she trying to market? Because it's all about marketing.
Well, it's you know, body stuff. Yeah. Permanent.
Is it permanent working makeup. For her?
Oh, she loves it.
Is she doing good?
Yeah, it's really working for her. You know, I mean, it's still in the initial stages, but so far, you know, things are looking very promising.
What is she doing?
Permanent makeup and eyelash extension.
Hey.
Beauty world.
By the way, she listens, you know, on my Monday morning greetings. She every week is reading them.
Oh, wow. News to me.
And clicking them sometimes two or three times.
Oh, I didn't even know that you could figure out that somebody clicks on them.
Because Ruti sends me every week who, so I know my audience. And it lists who read the Monday morning greetings and how many times they clicked on them. So I get an idea, at least who my audience is. And it was nice to see that her name is there every week. So when she comes back, we should make sure that I get to meet her, okay?
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah.
She did want to develop a relationship with me.
Okay. Hopefully she'll be able to come to
people. Oh, that is so cool. I'm going to call. I know some of the people down there. And I'm going to write them a letter and tell her to say hello to your daughter.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
That's great. Okay. And your other daughter wrote me. She wanted to stop in my ashram. But I don't use the signal thing. And when I looked at it, it was 3 weeks later.
Oh.
That's the yes. second time.
She's yeah. in Vrindavan right now as we speak.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's such a devotee. Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Okay. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Shirupa. Looking forward to seeing you. Thank you for such a nice class.
Okay. We'll see you soon, Shirupa. Okay.
Krishna Maharaj, that was a really wonderful class as usual. Thank you so much.
Great to see you, Henry. Always a pleasure. Really. Always a pleasure. Yeah. I was thinking the other day, how can I get Henry to Colombia? The reason I was seeing it because I just wanted to bring you actually to this one person's house because I know you would deal with them so nicely, but amazing. I'll talk to you privately about it.
It touches my heart so deeply, Maharaj, that you think of me like that. Please, you just made my day, you know. Thank you, Maharaj.
I remember when you came to Vrindavan, right? That was your introduction to Krishna consciousness, was Vrindavan. How many years ago was it?
It was 1983, and you were the first devotee that preached to me.
And you're still here. Okay, still listening. Great, Henry. Haribo. Good. We have anybody else want to say hello before I go? Okay, I'm just going to
look. Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Krishna Mayi.
Haribo. Nice to
Haribo.
See you. I'm coming upstate. I don't know if you can make it the 28th to Bhakti.
Yeah, Bamba. I'm planning to come for sure. Okay. I definitely miss you.
Okay, good. I'd like to speak to you. And I'll be 2 weeks up in Raghunath, so 1 or 2 weeks. So.
Oh, good. Thank nice you. You.
Okay, great. Anybody else? Okay, I'm looking at the list so I know everyone who came and thanking them deeply for coming. That's great. Okay. Panchakalpaturubhyasya kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.